Where's that? Hold on.
Okay, so we're on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Hopefully moving on to Daf Hey Amud Beis at some point. Yeah, whenever we get to. What I'd like to start with, if you can find it on the page, is Omer Lehu Rabbi Abba Breid Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba. Hochi Omer Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Do you have that?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just...
11 lines from the bottom.
11 lines up from the bottom. So let's just backtrack and see what we saw until now. We were discussing the concept, very difficult concept of Yisurim Shal Ava, correct? And we said the following. According to Reish Lakish's statement, we said that Oseik B'Torah Yisurim B'Delim Heimenu. If a person dedicates himself to the study of Torah, then he will be freed from, spared from Yisurim. Rabbi Yochanan, if you remember, was not happy with that statement. He wanted to sort of reformulate it, polish it up, because he felt, Afilu tinoko shel beis rab on yodin oso. You haven't added anything, Reish Lakish. Obviously, if the Torah tells me that if you will dedicate yourself to Torah and to fulfill the mitzvos and the ratzon of Hashem, lo osim olecha kol amachla shesanti mitzayim lo osim olecha, so then certainly it's a pasuk in Chumash. You don't need Reish Lakish to tell you that Yisurim b'deilu mimenu. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan offers a substitute, and he says that it's not that, the chiddush here is not that you can spare yourself of Yisurim by dedicating yourself to Torah, but rather that if a person doesn't dedicate himself to Torah, that means he has the opportunity to learn, and he doesn't do so, is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi'alav Yisurim Mechawarim V'Ochrenoso. And that's the Chiddush here that Rabbi Yochanan finds in the various Psukim here, and Tillim, and Mishlei, that Hashem will bring upon him Yisur as a punishment for the fact that he didn't take advantage of the opportunities that he had to study Torah. Then we had the Sugya of Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. I'm just reviewing what we already know. And that is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah, despite the fact that he's quote-unquote parting with the Torah, and we discussed this at great length, nevertheless he still does it b'simcha. And it's not like a situation where a person sells someone and he's very upset, he's atzuv, because he gives up something that's so precious to him. And that led us to the statement of Rav. In fact, I don't know, did we do Rav inside? I'm not sure.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, we did? Okay, so let's review it again. That a person who sees that Yisurim Boim Olav is Yefashbesh B'masov, if he doesn't find it, he should be Tola in Bitul Torah. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tillim, Ashrei HaGever Asher Tiyasrenu Yah U'mitorascha Salam Deinu. So that was the last thing I think we did. And we said that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings such Yisurim upon a person, if he accepts them willingly, that it refines his midos. Do you remember we discussed that? It refines his midos. And that's called Yisurim Shal Ava. That even though he doesn't have a sin, not even Bittul Torah, to justify on the level of crime and punishment, the Yisurim that he suffers, nevertheless the Yisurim are brought for more positive reasons called Yisurim Shal Ava, and that's to refine a person's midos and to give him, we had two pshatim in the Pnei Yeshua, if you remember that we discussed, to give him a better schar in Olam Haba, to increase his schar in Olam Haba. Then the Gemara records machlokes between two Amoraim. And the question is, what's the nature of the Yisurim Shal Ava? Can it be Yisurim Shel Ava even if a person is prevented by these Yisurim from studying Torah? Could it be Yisurim Shel Ava even if a person as a result of these Yisurim is prevented from Tefillah? He doesn't have the ability to concentrate on his learning or on his davening. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes, but basically the common ground to both of these opinions. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Rav Acha Bar Chanina, and they both agree that Yisurim Shel Ava have to be pure good, you know, pure assets. There can't be any negative results, any detriments. Otherwise, it's not Yisurim Shel Ava. And then we had the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. And he says, Elu v'elu yisurim shel avahim. That even if the yisurim will shter him, they'll prevent him from dedicating himself totally to Torah study or to tefillah, nevertheless it's still yisurim shel avah. It still might be brought upon a person in order to refine his midos. Ki as asher yahav Hashem yochiach. And That's I think the last thing we discussed. Did we discuss about the Gzeir Shavah of Bris? No. Okay, so that's what we want to pick up now. The Kal Vachomer from Shem V'ayin we discussed?
Yes.
Okay. So we're up to the word Vahainu. How many lines up is that from the bottom of the page? About eight?
Yeah.
Vahainu de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the Omer of Shimon ben Lakish, Nemar Bris b'melach. The Torah says in Vayikra that we should bring every karbon with melach, in other words, we salt the karbonos before we put them on the mizbeach. And there it says bris, we'll see in a minute. V'nemar, we find the word bris, says Reish Lakish, in Yisurim. And we have to derive some conclusion from the Gzeirah Shavah between bris. Let's go through the psukim. Nemar bris b'melach. With regard to karbonos, it says, "Tichsiv velo sashbis melach bris." The Torah describes the melach that you put on a karbon as bris. V'nema bris b'yisurin. Tichsiv, it says in the Tochcha at the end of Dvarim, "Ele divrei bris." And it seems that as a result of a person who violates the bris, he suffers yisurim. Ma bris ha'omer b'melach. Melach mimatekes es ha'bosar. A bris ha'omer b'yisurim is yisurim memarkin kol avonosov shel adam. So let's try to understand two words here that I want to call your attention to. One word is mimatekes, which literally translates as to sweeten. And the other word, memarkin, which translates as to cleanse. And let's see the connection between the two. So the word mematekes, which literally means to sweeten, is a little bit of a problem because salt is not usually used to bring sweetness to something. On the contrary, if the word is sweet, then you should mention sugar, not salt. Correct? So he quotes here, in the name of the Marsha, Rashi and Shir HaShirim. Rashi, on the Pasuk Mimatkim, says it means Arev. The word Arev means pleasant. Not sweet, but pleasant. And Rashi says that the Melach Metakein es habasar shiye arev lachila. Just like if you have something that's bitter, you want to sweeten it so that it'll be tasty. So too, if you have something like that's hard and harsh, like what?
Tenderizes.
Like meat, it tenderizes. Very good word. Is the melach is metakein es habasar. It makes it edible. So the word tikkun here, or the word arev, is a more appropriate word or a translation in this context of the word mimatekes. Okay? Now let's jump over to Yisurim. And in the case of the Bris Yisurim, it says here in Reish Lakish, it says Memarkin. What does Memarkin mean? So in the note here on the bottom, he quotes a sefer which we have to get a hold of. He quotes it all the time, the Sifsei Chachamim. And the Sifsei Chachamim quotes a Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam in Masechta Zvachim. And the Lashon of the Rambam there is the following. HaRechitza, when you wash something, HaMedukdekes, very thoroughly, he may sira kala nidbak. It removes anything that's attached. The Rambam is talking about shtifa and kelim, mariko shtika and kelim. Vehi nikres marika. So marika means a thorough cleansing. So again, just like we said in the case of melach, that it makes the basar arev, it makes it more swallowable or taste, it improves the taste, it's more what?
Edible.
So that means it makes it more pleasant to eat, it enhances the taste. So too, Yisurim does something to improve, just like the salt improves, the Marika improves. The Rambam in the case of Marika Bekalim says it improves the Kli by removing anything that's dovak to the Kli. And here, in the case of Yisurim, it improves the status of the person. What does it mean to improve the status of the person? So here I found two interpretations. One interpretation is from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says the following. I'll quote the language of the Gaon. He says, "Mitchila kasher shav adam b'tshuva." At the first level, when a person does tshuva, tshuva machmas yira, he only repents because he's afraid. And what is he afraid of? He's afraid of yisurim. He's afraid of suffering as punishment for his avonos. So that level of kapara, of yisurim, is a level of tshuva machmas yira. He says, li'achar mikan, however, when he reaches a higher level, kashu shav mi'ava, and his tshuva is that of love, he's not doing it as a response to his fear of punishment, as there the Gemara says in Yuma, zdonos nasim lo kizachios, that the very sins are converted into merits. Very interesting. Vinimta, says the Gaon, shayisurim, which at the first level were the response to tshuva miyira, now down the line were the ultimate cause of tshuva mi'ava, in which the very zdonos that brought about the yisurim become zochios. Says the Gaon, ha'yisurim therefore mimatkin es avonosov. They improve, so to speak, his avonos. And as now his avonos reach a higher level in which they called what? Zechuyos. That was one pshat that I found here. Now he gives another pshat in the name of the Marsha. And he says, Kishem shahamelach nichnas bibasar. Now why do we salt meat? You know, there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, more than one siman, called Hilchas Malicha. To remove what? Remove the blood. He says, Umotzi mimenu sadam. He says, so too Yisurim, in a figurative sense, not literally. He says, Ha Yisurim nichnasim be'adam umotzi mimenu es resichas hadam ha'mevioli dechet. In other words, the blood is considered in this symbol a something that heats up, and a passion perhaps, and it brings about chet. Umemel, as a result of the surim, avonosav mitmarkim imenu. The Marsha is a little bit closer to what we saw in the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos, that it cleanses him. Cleanses him means it refines his personality. Now, let's go back to the last thing we learned on Tuesday, and that was the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. If you remember that Rabbi Yochanan has a Kal V'Chomer. And in his Kal V'Chomer, the power of Yisurim to be Mamarek Gufo Shel Adam is derived from Shein V'ayin. Is there a difference between the derivation of Rabbi Yochanan and that of Reish Lakish? Meaning, they both seem to arrive pretty much at the same conclusion, at least the face of it, but they come to that conclusion from different derivations. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is deriving it from a Kal Vachomer from Shein V'ayin, Reish Lakish is deriving it from a Gzeirah Shavah of Bris B'melach. Is there a difference between the two? Right, but I'm saying, is there a nafkamina, like, so to speak, is there a case where a metzius where they would argue with each other? So he says the following, and here he's quoting one of the achronim, Reb Shimshon mi Ostropoli, and he says the following: Yesh nafkamina bein Rabbi Yochanan lomed yisur mechaprim kal vachom mishen v'ayin levein shitas Reish Lakish lomed zos b'gzeirah shavah mi bris melach. Again, they're both talking about the power of yisurim to bring a kapara to a person for his averos and cleanse him of his averos. But what is the nafkamina? He says shekein ledas Rabbi Yochanan ein ha yisurim mechaprim li adam ela kasher hu ma'amin shehem boim me'es Hashem v'eino choshev shebo all of the mikra. He says, based on the Kal Vachomer from Eved, the person who receives the Surim, which have the power, according to Rabbi Yochanan, to be Mechaper, that's only on condition that he attributes these Yisurim to God, rather than to some mikra, to some accident. How does he see this? Kishem shel eved, eino yotze b'shem v'ayin, ela b'kavana, kisharabo sima eino ohipil shina. It was done with kavana. The lo, kishachirim asu lo, o shenasim elov, by some accident, or somebody else hits the eved and removes, you know, and injures him in that way, that's not enough for shichur. It's got to come from the Adon. In other words, in the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Yochanan, there's a parallel between two masters. There's the master of the Eved, and there's the master of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In both cases, the surin, the suffering, comes from the master. And it was done deliberately. Aval shitas Reish Lakish, li olam ha-nisurim mechaprim li adam, keshem sha-melach mesakein es ha-basar, afilu im nofel ba-basar me'atzmo. Even if, let's say, somebody would, you know, the wind blew over the salt and it fell into the meat, it doesn't matter. It wasn't done b'chavana. Reish Lakish is focusing on the surim themselves. The surim themselves inherently have the power of being mechaper, no matter how the surim come about. Omnam v'ein Yaakov kosav shemeachav v'nok tagmar b'loshin v'hainu d'Reb Shimon ben Lakish. If you read carefully the first line in the Gemara that we studied today, it says v'hainu d'Reb Shimon ben Lakish. Thanks, Lakish. Yesh lumon sheshneim dover echad amru v'ein chiluk b'neim klal. So whether or not there's an afkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is going to be a machlokus in the achronim, how to interpret this Gemara. And truth be told, that the Poshim Shat in the Gemara v'hainu sounds like Reish Lakish is an extension. He's reflecting what we saw in Rabbi Yochanan. But the question in of itself, whether Yisurim have the power to be mechaper, if a person attributes those Yisurim to other causes, is it absolutely necessary as a precondition for the Yisurim to be mechaper that he attributes them to Hashem, who's bringing it upon himself? That's a fascinating issue. Well, what do you think about that?
He's not going to say that the Yisurim come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to attribute it to something else.
I don't know. That's what we're saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing upon him these Yisurim. And the question is, whether these Yisurim could have the power to be Mechaper, even if he doesn't appreciate these Yisurim.
So on that level, it's not going to...
So you would agree with, I think, Reish Lakish, with Rabbi Yochanan, excuse me, right? That Rabbi Yochanan is right, that in order to consider that these Yisurim are brought about the Ava, in order to refine a person. But keep in mind, I'm not 100% sure that this discussion is about Yisurim Shal Ava. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan says, Elu vi Elu Yisurim Shal Ava, correct? That's true. But then he says, "Dovar zeh mitorascha salamdenu." So you're right; it does sound like he's talking about Yisurim Shal Ava. But Reish Lakish, on the other hand, doesn't mention the concept of Yisurim Shal Ava.
The Rambam says that if you have Yisurim, you say it's just happenstance. That's achzarius. So what do you learn from that statement?
You're right. The Rambam Hilchas Tainius. Yeah, you're right. From the perspective of the Rambam, for sure, Reish Lakish is right. Ein ha'yisurim mechaprim liyodam ela kasher hu mamin shehem boim me'es Hashem. And Reish Lakish says that the yisurim have a koach to be mechaper afilim nofol bo me'atzmo. That there's some sort of inherent power in Yisurim to be mechaper. Maybe Reish Lakish, according to this approach of Reb Shimshon, is not even talking about Yisurim Shal Ava. Although again, you always have the problem of Vahainu, but Reb Shimshon is not sensitive to the word Vahainu, and he sees Reish Lakish as some new entity, and maybe Reish Lakish, does Reish Lakish use the word Yisurim Shal Ava? I don't think so. We saw that in Reb Yochanan, but we didn't see that in Reish Lakish. So it could be that Elu v'Elu Divrilikim Chaim, that we can accept both Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Maybe Reb Yochanan is talking about what? Yisurim Shal Ava. And Yisurim Shal Ava are only meaningful if you attribute them to Hashem as such, and you makabel them the Ava. Whereas maybe Reish Lakish is talking about Yisurim in general, which, regardless of what his level of amunah is, the Yisurim itself is a mechaper. Again, it's a very difficult premise. Tanya Reb Shim ben Yochai Omer, Sholosh Matonis Tovos, Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael V'Kulam Lo Nesonam El Al Yidei Yisurim. There are three great gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon the people of Israel, and all of them come with Yisurim. It sounds as if Reb Shim bar Yochai is saying that Yisurim is a precondition. Lo nesonam el al yidei Yisurim. They don't come gratis with pure benefits, assets. They come also with the deficit. V'eluhem, and what are these great gifts? Number one, Torah. Number two, Eretz Yisrael. And number three, Olam Haba. I don't know if the sequence here is bedafka, meaning that first you have to experience Torah, and then Eretz Yisrael, and then Olam Haba. I mean, it certainly makes sense that Olam Haba is last, you know, from a chronological point of view, sequentially, but I'm not sure if Torah has to come before Eretz Yisrael. That I don't know. In any event, we're going to look at Rav Kook on this, but before that, let's talk about the language of Matanos Tovos. The Marsha points out, he has three psukim to prove that these are called Matanos Tovos, each one respectively. In the case of Torah, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki lekach tov nasati lachem. In the case of Eretz Yisrael, in Sefer Dvarim, it says, Haaretz hatova asher nasati lacha. And in the case of Olam Haba, it says, Re'ei nasati lfanecha yom, es hachayim v'es hatov. It means that's what's common, and why are these three gifts singled out, says the Marsha, because...
How we know that it's Chayim, that's probably
what he's referring to. What, Reina Sati Lachem? It means choose the good, meaning the good that'll bring you to Olam Haba. That's what Chazal say. The Eitz Yosef, that's a super commentary on in the Ein Yaakov, he adds another thing. What's unique about these three? He says, these three matanos are matanos ruchnios, they are spiritual gifts, lishlemus nafsho shel adam. He says, all other gifts that a person bestows upon someone else, or even that Hashem bestows upon a person, have a physical element to them. Like gishamim, he says, maoros, gvura, osher, those are matanos gashmios. However, these three matanos that are singled out here, by Rav Shimon ben Yochai are matanos ruchnios. Again, the only problem that I have with this Eitz Yosef is Eretz Yisrael. And as I certainly agree that in the case of Torah, in the case of Olam Habo, we're talking about the Nefesh. I'm not sure about the case of Eretz Yisrael. I would like to assume that Eretz Yisrael has a physical element to it as well. He offers a second possibility, the same Eitz Yosef. Matanos elum yuchados rak li'am Yisrael. He says all of the gifts that come down from Shamayim, like we mentioned before, spread universally for all of mankind. But these three gifts are dedicated exclusively to Klal Yisrael. And once again, I have a problem, because I could agree that Torah is miuchad Islam Yisrael. I could agree that Eretz Yisrael is singularly given to Am Yisrael. I'm not sure about Olam Haba. I mean, there is such a concept as Chassidi Umas HaOlam, you know, Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba, so I don't know. But obviously, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek Olam Haba means up front, every Jew is guaranteed a portion of Eretz Yisrael unless he messes up. You know, a guy has to really work hard to reach a level of Chassidus. Rav Kook, however, sees another unique commonality, or lowest common denominator in these three gifts. But in order to appreciate Rav Kook, I think we have to read the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara says, Torah minayin. How do you know that Torah requires, as a precondition, Yisurim? Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Tilim, Ashrei Hagever Shati Asrenu Yah, Umi Torah Slamdenu. So this Pasuk we've seen over and over again, in terms of the relationship between Torah and Yisurim. What about Eretz Yisrael? Pasuk says in Dvarim, Ki kasher yaser ishes b'no, Hashem elokecha miyasrecha, that the Yisurim that come upon us are coming from a loving father. That has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael per se, except for the next Pasuk that says, Ksiv basrei, right afterwards it says, Ki Hashem elokecha miviacha el Eretz tovo. This is called Smichus HaParshis. That since in one parsha the Torah speaks about Yisurim, and immediately thereafter speaks about the Eretz Tova, it means that the Yisurim relate to Eretz Tova. And I think we can look at contemporary life and really testify that not only for us, each and every one of us here, it's always challenging, but for Klal Yisrael in general, look what we're going through in order to acquire Eretz Yisrael. And finally, Olam Haba, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or v'derech chayim tochachos musar. And Chazal, whenever they see the word chayim, which means ultimate life, it's a reference, an allusion to Olam Haba. And how do we achieve Olam Haba? Through tochachos musar. Tochachos musar, the Gemara identifies as Yisur. So without further ado, let's take a look. Again, you don't have to see page 16 because the page 16 just quotes the Gemara itself, so you can already turn to the other side, which is page 17, and the first word will say Ve'eretz Yisrael, V'olam Haba. Okay, so you see Ve'eretz Yisrael, V'olam Haba.
Right here.
Ve'eretz Yisrael, V'olam Haba. Okay. Yesh Milos Shehem B'teva HaAdam Lufi Shoresh Yitziraso Basher Hu Adam LaHasigam. He says there are certain great attributes which by very nature each individual person is able to access to achieve them. By very nature. That's the way he was created. V'keman Shein Shavos L'teva. Since they are harmonious, I would say, with nature, ain't tzarich yisurim kedei lizko salem. There's no need for a person to undergo suffering in order to achieve these milos. They're part of nature. Omnam, but in contrast, lizchos lemailo shichutz l'teva. There are certain experiences or certain achievements that man can possess, can reach, can attain, but they are outside of the box. They're outside of Teva. L'mayla min ha-Teva. And the difference is that in such cases, ein kochos ha-guf shem tivim, the natural propensity of man which belongs to Teva, to the Olam HaTeva, muchanim l'zeh. There's no way that man, if left for on his own, could exceed, could break the bounds of Teva and to reach the level of lamaila minatev and achieve these milos. Kiim, and therefore what becomes necessary here? Al yidei yisurim. Somehow yisurim break the teva of Adam and allow him to climb above the bounds of teva. And he brings a mashal from Nevuah. At the time of Nevuah, which again requires a person breaking out of teva and connecting to God, he says, the Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah that for a Navi, for a prophet to receive Nevuah, the physical body has to be affected, ill affected, meaning the body becomes weak. The Evarim is parking, the limbs of the body start, so to speak, shaking, they're disconnected. He says many places in Tanakh indicate that the Navi complains about, you know, his physical weakness when he receives Nevuah. And all this is because Nevuah is outside of Teva. Again, Rav Kook is going to have to elsewhere address the issue of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was unique, was singular, and he didn't have to experience any physical change. So Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is all. But he's using Nevuah just as a mashal here. He says, Eina gufa tivi mekabla, the natural physical element of man biologically cannot receive Nevuah. Fine. Now he comes to these three gifts. What's unique about these three gifts? He says, Gimel Milos Hain Kulam Lamaila Minateva. There are three gifts that take a person outside of, above Teva, above nature. He like breaks out of his biological circle or his biological limitation. And these are the three gifts that we're looking at here that all require Yisurin in order to achieve. Because as Rav Kook has said, you know, the body has to be physically weakened in order to break out of the limitation of Teva. Ha'adam Murkav, and man himself is a composite, is a hybrid being. He's made up of three elements. And apparently these three elements are going to parallel or correspond to the three gifts that we're talking about that are lamala min ha-teva. Number one, seichel, the intellect of man. Number two, the guf, the physicality of man. And number three, the nefesh, the soul of man. He says the following. All three of them function very well within the context of nature. However, they also have the possibility, the potential of being elevated above the limitations of Teva. And again, there's going to have to be a process by which we prepare ourselves, and you'll see we have to receive Yisurim in order to take these three elements that make up man and break out of the limitations of Teva in order to achieve the three gifts that parallel these three parts of man. And now he goes through the three of them. He says, Klal Yisrael, and I think he's holding like we saw in the Ein Yaakov, that these three gifts are unique to Klal Yisrael, the Eitz Yosef that we saw. Hechinam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Begimel Elu Shis Alu Me'al In Yonei Teva. God gave these three, and these three allow the Ben Yisrael to rise above Teva, and God gives them the ability to be prepared to break out of the chains and the limitations of Teva. Let's go through the three of them. Number one is Seichel, the intellect of man. Obviously that parallels what? The Torah, right? The Torah gives man, when man achieves Torah, when he understands Torah, that perfection of going above Teva. And Guf, as we indicated before, the physical element of these three gifts is represented by Eretz Yisrael, which is a physical land. Eretz Zavas Cholav U'Dvash. Umikomakom, nevertheless, even though Eretz Yisrael represents physicality, it has within it the potential to connect with sanctity, with Kedusha. He calls it Sguli, you know, that's unique to Eretz Yisrael. No other land on the face of the earth has that potential to be elevated to the extent that Eretz Yisrael could be elevated. Me'inyan HaTeva. Lamalami, excuse me, Minyan HaTeva. And finally, Olam Haba. Olam Haba relates to the Nefesh. And here, I get very confused. So maybe you'll help me out here. He says, that for a person to be zocher to Olam Haba and to break out of this world and achieve a place in the next world, which is obviously Lamala Min HaTeva, you need Yisurim. Kulam Lo Noslu Kimal Yidei Yisurim. Now, I'm a little confused here, because when it comes to Torah, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, these are things that I want to achieve in my world, with 2 feet on this ground. And therefore, within this world, I need Yisurim. But he doesn't spell out, why is it that Olam Haba, which is the Olam of Nefesh, where there's no goof, why do I need Yisurim? In other words, the physical suffering...
Get you there.
Yeah, but it's a little bit odd, David, isn't it? Because when you say getting there, where are you going? You're going to a world... Oh, maybe he means that, but that he doesn't say. You know, that now already, you know, interpreting his words. He seems to be saying that man is limited in his biological being to achieve things in this world, in this life, which are lamaila min hateva. But if you talk about the next life, that's a whole different story. In the next life, I'm purely spiritual, so I don't need to beat down the goof and suffer physical yisurim in order to achieve all of my bar.
In other words, in the Rav, the Gaulus says everybody has a chalik already, but it depends how big the chalik is.
Right. No, I'm not disagreeing that ultimately we're going to answer, as we've seen over and over again, Yisurim Market and Eskufo Shel Adam, and we saw that Yisurim Matekes Es Adam and Avonosav Shel Adam, that somehow, in order to get a good portion of Olam Haba, the process of Yisurim refines the person and cleanses him. And somehow liquidates or neutralizes his avonos, which are going to prevent him until he gets kapara from having a real chelik in Olam Haba. That's all true, but you have to admit to me, it doesn't fit into the neat package. You know, I'm very impressed always when Rav Kook comes up with a symmetry. You know, he's got it all worked out like a beautiful puzzle. Here, it's a little bit different. You know, we're talking about the power of Yisurim. Until now, we're saying that man, because of his physicality, is limited. You know, he can't reach this, he can't achieve this. These are things that are lamala min hateva. So he's got to beat down his goof. In the case of Yisurim, in the case of Olam Haba, Adarabba, he's leaving his goof behind. So I don't know why you have to beat down the goof in order to achieve this total spiritual, you know, world where you're not connected to a goof. Again, if there's a halacha of kapara to be mamarik as avonos of shel adam, okay, that's fine. But that's not the structure that he's trying to present. I don't know if he's talking about death, but that I don't know. Yeah, maybe that's...
From the Magid, to put the blind man on top, a lame man on top of the blind man, you need the goof in the shoulder.
Yeah, maybe the goof also goes into Olam Haba. You know, there's a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban about whether the goof will live eternally, you know, after Tchias HaMeisim. It could be that Rav Kook holds that the Ramban is correct. It wouldn't surprise me, because he's much closer, as again, the little that I know, I'm not a Rav Kook expert. You know, you have to spend your life figuring this man out. I mean, he's on a different plane. But the little that I know of Rav Kook, he's much more on the Ramban page. Okay. Tana Tana Kame de Rabbi Yochanan Kala Osek Bitora Ubigamilus chasodim vikover as bonov mochlin lo al kolavanosov. Now, there are two ways of reading this Gemara. Do we read it A plus B plus C, or do we read it A or B or C? And this is going to be a gigantic machlokus about that. But be that as it may, let's just say in a general sense, Rabbi Yochanan says that there are secret keys that open up the door to absolute total mechila for all your averis. Certain keys, if you obtain those keys, they're sort of like magical. And they have tremendous power. And the first key, he says, is Osek B'Torah. Okay, so Torah has Osek HaTorah has a specific power to remove a person's avonos, And the second thing is gemilus chasodim, right? This is beinonim l'chavera. And finally, he has kover esbana. I don't think he's saying that we should pray for that. You know, that's not something we want to experience. And in this case, I think we're going to have to say that, you know, nebuch, if a person experiences this. So first, let's look at this machlokus about whether you need all three or any of the three. He says the following. I'm just going to read to you, again, the Sifsei Chachamim that he's fond to quote here in the Masifta. He says, Yesh levar mai kavanas memrezu. This is Sifsei Chachamim. Ha'im tzarech lekol shlosh sadvarim yachtov, kidei lizkos lekapar savonos. Do we need all three? Da'ainu shirak onam. Ha'osek gam b'torah v'gam b'gemilas chasod v'gam sovel yisurim v'misas bonov hu hazochel l'mechilas avonosov. So he needs all three. Oh, shedai b'chol echad mehem b'fnei atzmo. Or is it enough that he achieves any one of them in and of themselves? And the final conclusion of the Sifsei Chachamim is that you read it o katani. Shedai b'kol echad mehem b'fnei atzmo kidei lechaper alvanosav shal ona. That's the conclusion of the Sifsei Chacham. So again, the vav can be read not only as a vav hamachaber, but it could be a vav hamachalek, which means oh. However, he quotes another sefer. Again, I'm not familiar with it. Surah Dvash. It doesn't sound so sweet to me, but he says that legabi toru gemilas chasodim tzarech lishneim biyachad. It's not enough to have one or the other, Torah or gemilas chasodim individually, independently, but rather you need the combination of the two. But he admits that in the case of kover esbonov, dai bozeh below Torah ugemilas chasodim. What leads him to this conclusion? So in order to appreciate that, we're going to have to see how the Gemara, how Rabbi Yochanan finally derives and establishes this halacha, this principle that we saw before. So we'll come right back to this in just a minute. I have something here, if I can find it, that I wanted to share with you. You know, in the back of the Masifta, he has the Yalkut Biurim, where he goes into a little bit more detail. So if you have it, it's on page Samach Gimel. Samach Gimel and Samach Dalet, the two things I wanted to point out to you. First of all, he says the following. When a person suffers Yisurim, his responsibility, as we discussed, is to try to understand why these Yisurim are coming upon him. Correct? Yifashbesh Mamasov, correct? And the fallback position is Yisurim Shal Ava. If he couldn't find any other justification for Yisurim. So the question is, and we discussed this in the past, what does it mean he couldn't find any chet? The Marsha and others are not happy with this, and they claim that Rashi's not happy with this because Ein Tzadik Baaretz Asher Yaseh Tov Lo Yecht is a pasuk in Koheles. So we already discussed Rashi's answer to this question, that Rashi says that there's not a Mida Keneged Mida. He doesn't find any shaychus, any connection between the suffering that he suffers and the averis that he implemented. But he has here another answer, another commentary that I think takes it a little bit further. He says the following. He says, Fishpesh v'lo matza, Hainu shalo yot matza biyado averos b'mezit. He didn't find any deliberate averis. Meaning there may be averis that he violated b'shogeg. The pasuk ki adam ein tzadik v'artza shayasa tov lo yechta includes chet. Chet is always classically shogeg, and it means that everybody is guilty of something. If he's not deliberate about the aver, then at least he's unintentional. He's a shogeg. This person was looking for averis, and he didn't find any averis b'mezid.
If he's a shogeg, he may not be aware of it.
Correct. He's totally unaware of it. But what I wanted to say is that this comment, which he attributes here to the Smichas Chachamim, is very odd. Again, I'm sorry that today I'm being very critical, but I don't understand what he's saying. Torah Yivu Luman and Yitzarach. A person has to look not only for Averis B'mezid, and then when he finds that he has no Averis B'mezid, he sort of like is going to derive the conclusion that these Yisurim are coming what? As Yisurim Shal Ava. Again, because what are we saying over here? Pish Pesh below Matzah. He didn't find any Averis. He didn't find any justification for the Yisurim. He knows, therefore, by passive elimination, that it's Yisurim Shal Ava. But I don't get it. Why should he assume that Yisurim Shal Ava if the whole premise here is that for sure he's guilty of some sin, meaning at least Beshogeg, Chet Beshogeg, and if that be the case, maybe he's suffering because of the Shogeg. Unless he's coming back to square one, that Rashi says that the punishment is not commensurate to the crime. But truth be told, that we learned already in the past, not here in Masechta Brachos, but in Masechta Makos, that even a chet b'shogeg is considered a rishus. Shogeg is not what you and I think it is. Shogeg doesn't mean that, you know, he slipped on a banana peel and he killed somebody. That's not shogeg, that's onus. Shogeg means when he was working with the utensil and he didn't do his maximum to check out the safety of that utensil. He should have known, like for example, the axe and the metal part of the axe flew out. Before you go up and start, you know, knocking down wood on top of in the middle of a forest in a public area, you should have checked it. But it was negligence. Pshia. There's negligence. That's what a shogi is. And the Gemara goes as far as to say that the shame Russia applies to a shogi. There's another category called onus. Those are extenuating circumstances that beyond my control, I did everything I could. And the difference is whether you go to Ari Mikla. Who goes to Ari Mikla for murder? Only a shogi. But if he's karav l'ones, the Gemara says he's potter. If it's not derech yirida, but it's derech aliyah, meaning he's on his way up and something happens and the whole thing falls down, in which his whole life is in jeopardy. In such a case, the Gemara says he doesn't go to the Ari Mikla.
So he's a quick...
Absolutely. That's why I say it's a very odd thing to tell me that you checked yourself out and you came to the conclusion that there's no justification for these Yisurim, it's Yisurim Shal Ava. Why? Because you couldn't find the Shogeg. Okay, fine, you couldn't find the Shogeg. That's okay. But don't tell me that therefore, ipso facto, the Yisurim here are Yisurim Shal Ava. I don't see that. I don't understand. That he was only a shogeg? Maybe the Ramban means an ones. He doesn't mean a shogeg. Where is this Ramban? I mean, does he tell you? Okay. Now he, again, I don't want to, you know, argue with Art Scroll, but he quotes the Ramban. And the Ramban says something totally different. Again, there may be other things that the Ramban says, I'm not saying, but here the Ramban says the following. The Ramban says, Pishpesh b'maso means Hakavonahi b'avera b'kum v'ase v'tole b'bitul Torah d'havi avera b'shei v'altase. Ah, the Ramban is differentiating between two types of averos. One is an avera bimase, with a commission, right? He commits an avera, and the other is omission, is b'shevi altas. What the Gemara says is that at the first level, because again, the Ramban is bothered by the question, what does it mean? The Gemara says, fish for lo masa is tole bevitul Torah. He says Bittul Torah is a great avera. Why did he say fish v'lo matzah? He didn't find anything, and then he has to assume he was mevatel Torah. He says that the first level of pishpesh b'masa, of the emphasis on masa, is on an asiya, and on something active. If he doesn't find something active, then he looks for some avera which is passive and a non fulfillment of an obligation. That's already an essay, not a los essay. And therefore, he says the following, that in the case of the first round of pishpush, he should look for his meisim. He should examine his meisim. He's got his los essays. In the second case of pishpush, he should check out his bittul essay. Correct, his non-action. Where was he guilty of not doing what he's responsible to do? The example of that, the prime example of that, is Bittul Torah. So again, I'm going to add a little bit of my own here, and I hope the Ramban will be meichel me, but I think what the Ramban is saying is that Bittul Torah here is a category. We have two categories. We have Pishpesh B'Masov, and we have Tola B'Bittul Torah. Basically, Bittul Torah is not just Bittul Torah. Bittul Torah is a case in point. It's a single example of an entire category of pishpush, of what he's looking for. And then finally, I wanted to point out, he quotes the Mabit in Beis Elokim, and the Mabit says the following. Okay, it's a long piece. I'll just summarize it. He says, "Kshem shem adam lomed v'kori v'torah nechshalo kilu mekayim ha-mitzvah k'suvus po." Why is the Gemara putting so much emphasis, asks the Mabit, on Bittul Torah? He says the answer is that Torah, when you study it, gives you, what accrues to you, is the benefit, the reward for all the mitzvahs. K'mo sh'amru chazal ha-osik v'torah s'ola is kilu hikrav ola. Right, so if I can't bring kodshim to the mizbeach, but what I can do is I can learn kodshim. Correct, but here it's not. Here it's not tefillah. You know, classically we understand that tefillah is neshalma parm sosenu. He's saying that Torah has the power. Shim adam misbatel b'torah lefichach nechshelo kilu eino makayim es kol mitzvus v'eino nizar b'kol averos aksuvus b'torah. In other words, since he wasn't careful about the study of Torah, therefore he forfeits all these mitzvahs, because every time he learns Torah, he gets schar, not just for the Torah, but even for the mitzvahs. If he can't fulfill those mitzvahs, he'll get the schar for the mitzvahs. And again, I was thinking, you know, if the Mabit is already addressing the issue of why Torah is singled out, you know, to bring Yisurim if he doesn't study Torah, I think the answer might be, and again, it's very similar to the Mabit, that if you don't learn the Torah, Chazal tells us, Eina Moritz Chassid, you know, how are you going to, I always give the example of Shabbos, you know, if you don't learn the learnings of Shabbos, we discussed it on Tuesday, how are you going to fulfill the laws of Shabbos? How are you going to observe the Shabbos? So in a sense, if you don't learn the Torah, you know, all of Tariq Mitzvahs are sort of in the balance over here. So that's why the Gemara says, Yitle b'Bittul Torah, because Bittul Torah is something that's so fundamental, it really touches and it relates to the entire Torah. And finally, the last thing that I wanted to call to your attention here is the Tzlach. Let's just backtrack and see what is it that the Tzlach is bothered by. You remember we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, and he gave it b'simcha. Okay? The pasuk is, Ki lecha tov nasati lechem torasi al tazov. So all the Achronim asked the question, and we raised this question as well. In the case of a mocher who gives up, he forfeits his object, we understand that he should be atzei. But in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives the Torah as a gift. He's not losing the Torah. He's not forfeiting the Torah. Why is it considered like a mocher? Why does the Gemara compare it to a mocher? And we had a long discussion about this, you remember? But I wanted to tell you what the Tzlach has to say and what the Marsha has to say, because they add something that we didn't know before. And they claim the following, that there's a separate halacha in mocher, which is called mocher bi'ayin rahu mocher. Did we discuss this? Okay, let's say I sell you a house, And beyond, behind the house, there's a pathway that leads to the back of the house. And it gives you access to the house, not only... So you have the front door of the house, and now you have access from the back. So again, I'm summarizing something that has great details, and, you know, I'm giving it to you just in a gross kind of way. So the Gemara says that if the contract doesn't spell out whether he's selling the pathway as well, is we have a principle called mocher bi'ayin rohu mocher. Now this responsibility is incumbent on the lokeach to prove that it was included in the mecher. Now we're going to take the most narrow interpretation of the contract and tip the scale in favor of the mocher, unless we know otherwise, because he's selling it. He doesn't fork over more than he has to. However, with regard to a matana, is hanosein matana lechaveru, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, is bi'ayin yotho nosein. In other words, no one's forcing me to give you this gift. I'm giving you it out of a sense of love. I'm going to give it to you bi'ayin yotho. Says the Marsha, that's what our Gemara wants to do. The Gemara is not comparing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift of the Torah to a mechira. The Gemara is contrasting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift of the Torah to a mechira. Don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving the Torah, says the Marsha, because he wants you to pay up, because he needs your avoda. Your avoda is not a tmura, it's not a compensation for the gift of the Torah. It's a pure, 100% unadulterated gift. And therefore, bi'ayin yofu, no, I give it to you out of a sense of joy. I'm so happy to give you a gift. And therefore, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sameach. And then we have the Tzlach. The Tzlach says the following. Ein hanesina shal haTorah nechsheves kimecher. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a gift. It's a matnas chinam. He says, what the Gemara wants to emphasize here, this Gemara of Rab Zera, is to tell us that when we do avoda, whatever it is, the Tariq mitzvahs, when we do Yigiyah B'Torah, it's not for Hashem's benefit, but it's for our benefit. God is completely on the giving side. He wants to afford us and present us with an opportunity to get more and more schar. Even the Torah that we study and the avoda that we do, that's also part of the matana that Hashem is giving us. So once again, the Tzlach is emphasizing the contrast between a mecher and a matana, and he throws to boot the fact that Hashem doesn't want anything in return. Anything that we do with the Torah that's given to us is for our benefit. It's part of the gift of Ayin Tova. It's that Hashem wants to give us more and more and more.
Hashem, he wants you to serve.
But why?
With the Torah.
So that he can be marbe schar for us. What time is it? 12:15. Okay, so wait a minute, Rabbi Moshe, before we go, just can we make a cheshbon where we're up to? Because sometimes what was the last thing we did? Oh yeah, we didn't finish up. Let's just, if I can take you for another minute. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bishlema, Torah Gmilus Chasadim. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mochel all our Averis? Because we dedicate ourselves to Torah Gmilus Chasadim. Dichsiv, Apostle Mishle, Bechesed, the MS, Yechupar Avon. Okay. Good, Yechupar Avon, but how do you know that this is a reference to Torah and a reference to Gemilas Chasadim? So the Gemara says, Chesed Zu Gemilas Chasadim, which means that the word Chesed is equal to Gemilas Chasadim. You see, Gemilas Chasadim is different than Staka. If I give a gift to an Ani, that's not called Gemilas Chasadim. So how do you know, Rabbi Yochanan, that when the pasuk says in Mishlei bechesed yechupar avon, that chesed is gemilus chasadim? Maybe that chesed, that kindness, is the money, the charity that you give to an ani. He says chesed zu gemilus chasadim. I'll prove to you that the word chesed means gemilus chasadim. Shenemar rodef tztok of a chesed yimtza chayim. What do you see? Tzedakah l'chud and chesed l'chud, from the fact that the pasuk there in Mishle differentiates between tzedakah and chesed. It must be that chesed is not chesed in the sense of I do a good thing, I'm compassionate on the ani, I give money. No, chesed means gemilus chasadim. It's not tzedakah, it's gemilus chasadim. Gemilus chasadim is begufo shalom, meaning when I visit the sick, or I help an old lady cross the street, or I help you pick up your burden from the ground. All that is called Gemilus Chasadim. And the pasuk that says Yechupar Avon is a reference to Gemilus Chasadim. Again, there are many other rewards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bestow upon someone who gives tzedakah, but the unique reward for Gemilus Chasadim, which makes it superior to tzedakah, is that it has within it the power of Mechila al Kol Avonosof. How do you know Torah as well? Because it says Emes. The Emes Zu Torah. How do we know that Emes is Torah? Shenemar, a pasuk says right there in the same section, it says Emes Knei V'al Timkar. And what does Emes Knei V'al Timkar mean? That a person should be Kona Emes. He should acquire truth. And he should, okay, we'll have to see what Al-Timkar means, but that's not for today. We'll do that next time, believe it. Elo HaKover Esbonov Minayin. How do we know that Kover Esbonov is also guarantees a person a complete, total mechila on his averes? Tonale Ha'usava Mishum Rabshim Bar Yochai Asya Avon Avon. It says here in this pasuk in Mishle, Bechesed V'emes Yechupar Avon. Uksiv Hasam, and it says there in Yirmiyah with regard to the death of children, Umishalem Avon Avos El Cheik Bineihem. Again, the word Avon in the context of children, Rachman al Sanu, die, and they die because of the Avon of the Avos. We'll have to see what that's all about. And that itself is going to guarantee a complete kapara. So please make a note that this is where we're holding, and we'll polish up this last piece in Mitzvah Shem. So Rabbi Osai, today's Shia on Chumash is, I'm going to try to see if we can connect, you know, Yosef HaTzadik with Chanukah. That's what I want to see if we can do, and we'll start in about 5 minutes. Sure.